Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. The Pharisees and the scribes weren't wrong in what they said about Jesus. This man receives sinners and eats with them. That was true. Jesus did not send the tax collectors and sinners away when they drew near to hear him. He received them. Nor, to a certain extent, were they wrong to be confused about this. After all, they were experts in the scriptures, the Old Testament, the law of God. They knew full well the close of the commandments, as we ourselves know it from the small catechism. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. They knew what the Lord had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And the prophet Ezekiel, the soul who sins shall die. Yes, that also was true. But they were wrong to criticize Jesus for receiving sinners and eating with them. This criticism revealed a blind spot in their knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. That is to say, they were blind to the gospel. They did not remember what we ourselves heard from the prophet Micah today. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Nor did these religious leaders plead with the Lord on behalf of sinners, as Moses had done in the book of Numbers. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Nor did they know what the psalmist had confessed in Psalm 85. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. Nor did they continue reading in the book of Ezekiel, hearing, have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live. As Jesus would later say to their contemporaries, the Sadducees, you are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For the power of God is revealed in mercy and in the forgiveness of sins. And thus their error on this day revealed a deeper error. The Pharisees and the scribes were not only mistaken about God's mercy towards sinners, they were mistaken about their own sinfulness. Namely, they didn't see themselves to be sinners. The Pharisees and the scribes did not confess themselves to be sinners, at least not sinners like those tax collectors and those other sinners who drew near to Jesus, those whom Jesus received. In their own mind, perhaps, yes, they had sinned here and there, but they certainly would not be characterized as sinful, not sinners. Now, contrary to that, you yourselves began this service with this confession. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you, O God, all my sins and iniquities. Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. And in just a short time, we will pray yet again, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we just sang, Jesus, sinners doth receive. We deserve but grief and shame. I, a sinner, come to thee with a penitent confession. Because these words are on our lips each and every week, it's easy to forget just how strange they really are. That is, to enter into the presence of Almighty God, he who alone is holy and righteous in himself, at whose coming every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess, he whom Moses called a consuming fire, yes, entering into his house and telling him all that you have done to disobey him. What a strange thing it is indeed. We don't do this anywhere else. You don't walk into your boss's office on Monday morning and tell him without shame that you were at the ball game when you called in sick last week, that you sneak down to the warehouse to nap for a few hours every afternoon, that you've been taking a few dollars out of the register for several years now. We don't do that, of course not. So why do we enter into God's house and tell him all the ways that we've wronged him? Isn't that suicide? And yet, if we are to remain faithful to God and his word toward us, we can't say anything else about ourselves than, "I am a poor, miserable sinner." After all, this is what he has first said to us in his word. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. And for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And again, who can say, "I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin"? Yes, our sinfulness is so thorough, it's so pervasive of our nature that we cannot fully know and understand how corrupt we really are. As the psalmist says, "Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults." This is why so many people struggle with this idea of confessing one's own sinfulness. It might be familiar to us because we do it week after week, but to the world, it is unthinkable. Pharisees, scribes, unbelievers who delight in their sins and take pride in their wickedness, those Christians who embrace the heresy of perfectionism and salvation by works, yes, they all fall into the same error, denying the sinfulness of man. To admit their own sinfulness is unthinkable. But as Jesus says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. A heart transplant is a life-threatening procedure, and it's no good news unless you know that you need a new heart. And so likewise, a savior from sin and hell is unnecessary unless you recognize that you are a lost and condemned sinner. And this is why the gospel is so hard for the unbeliever to stomach. For a Savior who had to die, who had to shed his blood, who had to bear the weight of the world's sin on himself in order to free that world from that sin, means that they, sinners, the world itself, could not save itself. If you don't think you're a sinner, what do you need a Savior from sin for? It's nothing less than insulting to be told that you are so wicked that God himself had to die just to free you from those sins. It's insulting to be told you cannot earn your way to salvation, no matter what you do, that somebody had to do it for you. Yes, it's insulting, unless you acknowledge that you are a poor, miserable sinner, unless you acknowledge that you deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But when you do those things, when you confess that you are by nature sinful and unclean, that you have deserved from God his punishment both now and forever, then the gospel is the greatest comfort of all. As we heard Paul say today, he was the foremost of sinners. And the word of the cross, which is folly to those who are perishing, is the power of God to those who are being saved. Yes, Paul, as we heard, was led by the Spirit to confess his sinfulness, his inability to save himself. He was led to repent of his sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And so he was not ashamed to be counted among sinners. Again, as we heard him say this morning. Well, by grace alone, through the word alone, the Holy Spirit has led us to confess that we are indeed poor, miserable sinners, poor, sinful beings, in need of our Father's forgiveness for our trespasses. We are not ashamed, because God has promised to forgive our sins and to show mercy to us. He shows this mercy to us for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And so as those who confess the depth of their sinfulness, that we cannot save ourselves, then the cross of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, is the power of God for us and for all who believe. Indeed, it is good news that God should create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. It is good news that Jesus came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. It is good news that we have a Savior who died, who shed his blood, who bore the weight of our sins and the sins of the whole world in order to free us from our sin. For we ourselves know that we could not shoulder that burden. This is all good news. This is the gospel. If the Pharisees and the scribes had confessed this, they would have said the same thing about Jesus. For again, they weren't wrong to acknowledge that the man Jesus received sinners and ate with them. But this would not have been an insult in their minds. Rather, it would have been their praise. For it is the glory of God that he shows mercy to sinners, that he receives them, that he eats with them. And this is what Jesus teaches them and us by the two parables which we heard today, along with the third one which follows, the parable of the prodigal son. And that is that the Pharisees and the scribes were not of a different class or a better sort than those tax collectors and sinners. Rather, they were all God's sheep, all his coins, all his sons. And for this reason, Jesus would seek them out also, for they too were lost. Again, he proved this by seeking out Paul, even as Paul persecuted the church. While sinners were still weak, robbing and cheating and committing adultery, while sinners were still plotting and scheming against Christ, while they were enemies of God, mocking him and scourging him and crucifying him, nevertheless, God loved them. Christ died for them. They remain his sheep, his coins, his sons. Indeed, Christ died for the ungodly and reconciled them to God the Father. He loved them even unto death. He loves them still. And above all, he desires their restoration, whether they be tax collectors and sinners or Pharisees and scribes. And that is why Jesus, like a good shepherd, like a diligent woman, like a kind and loving father, seeks and saves the lost. And that's why Jesus received sinners and ate with them. Thanks be to God, we still say the same thing today. Jesus still receives sinners. Jesus still eats with them. He receives sinners in mercy, as a shepherd receives a lost sheep and carries it safely home. He eats with sinners here in the blessed sacrament of the altar, in which Christ himself is both host and meal. At this altar, Jesus not only eats with sinners, but he gives his true body to be eaten by sinners and his true blood to be drunk. He gives his body and blood to you today because you are sinners. For as he declares, this is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And therefore, do not be afraid. As sinners, draw near to Jesus. Hear his word of forgiveness. Draw near and take the body and blood of the Lord. Draw near, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, truly receives sinners, and he eats with them. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.